Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is the reading of God's word. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Please be seated and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word, that you will bless the person who is preaching, that I will be able to preach correctly, and that you will bless your people. All of us who are hearing of your word, as we hear your word, let us be able to hear the loving voice of you telling us wonderful stories of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Oh Father, bless us with the knowledge of your Son, and receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are the light of the world. We've been looking at the pictures of the citizens of heaven. Your picture in heaven. And we continue to do that. And here we come to verse 14, and God says to us, you are the light of the world. The citizens of heaven are the light of the world. Again, Jesus does not say, do your best so that you may be the light of the world. No, he does not say that. He says, you are the light of the world. I have already made you the light of the world. The Bible is always focused on what God has done, not what we need to do. Because simply put, apart from Christ, we are not able to do anything. Well, one thing we're able to sin. So listen to our Lord when he says, you are the light of the world. Whether you truly understand this or not doesn't make any difference. If you are God's Son, then you are the light of the world. And I hope through this message that you will understand and believe. The question is, who I am? What kind of person have I already become through the salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished? That is the question. You and I who are in Christ are the light of the world. We have already dealt with this subject, this light, when we looked at chapter 4, verse 16. So a lot of what we'll see today will be a review. You are the light of the world. This is the same as you have been recreated in the image of your Lord Jesus Christ. You are like Him. Yes, your physical experience, your life experience here on earth will say the contrary to what the Bible says right here. Because when you look at yourself and when you look at your brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the furthest thing from being like Jesus Christ. But again, the truth says, Jesus says, you are now like Him. And you need to understand that, and you need to believe it. You are like Him. Not that you have become God. But we are now, you are now His sons who are like Him. Jesus Christ, He is the true light of the world. And if you are His son, you are also the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John chapter 9, verse 5, He says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Chapter 12 of John, verse 46, Jesus says, I have come as light into the world. And Romans chapter 8, verse 29a says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. God's will for you is that from the very beginning He predestined you to become conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4b says, you may become partakers of the divine nature. This is truly an amazing verse. Did you know, brothers and sisters, that you are the partakers of divine nature? We're not talking about you being God. But the attributes of God, some of the attributes of God is now your attributes in Jesus Christ. Let me read you once again. 2 Peter 1:4b, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You and I, we are predestined to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And you and I, we have become partakers of the divine nature. You and I, we have been saved from this world to be like God. Because we are His sons. We're not trying to become His sons. We are. And that is very important truth. There's so many people wasting so much time and effort trying to become God's sons. No one is able to become God's sons on their own strength. But brothers and sisters, you have been saved to be like God. And that is what we're reading about in this verse, when God says to you that you are the light of the world. Because we know that God is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the true light of the world, and in Him we are also the light of the world. And again, brothers and sisters, we must witness that reality in this world. If we are truly Christians, our desire is to be like God, to witness that fact. And if we understand God to be the light of the world, then you would want to witness that you are also the light of the world in Him. This is how our religion works. You are the light of the world. Again, here in this sentence, the light is contrasted with the world. Do you remember? You are the salt of the world, and we talked about how the salt is contrasted there with the earth. But here, the same thing is happening. The light is contrasted with the world, meaning that the world is darkness. The world is fallen in sin. Oh no, the world will never accept that. They will never acknowledge that. The Bible describes this reality, how the world is fallen in sin, as the darkness, utter darkness. Matthew chapter 4 verse 16 describes those who are of the world as those who are sitting in darkness and sitting in the land and shadow of death. And why does Bible do this? Why does the Bible describe these sinners as someone who are sitting in the darkness? Because these sinners are not able to see the light. Because they are not able to see who Jesus Christ really is. Jesus, who is the true light. And unless you see Jesus as who really is, then you are in the darkness. Even when Jesus stood right in front of them, even as God Himself came as a man and stood right in front of people, they did not see who Jesus was or is. They did not recognize Jesus, who is the true light. Thus, they are in the darkness. They are the true blind. They are the true darkness. Do you understand why the Bible describes sinners as the blind or the world as the darkness? For this simple fact, that they do not see Jesus Christ, the true light, as who He is. They dwell in the darkness. They do not know the true light. The world is in the darkness, but the people who belong to it do not know it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21a says, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. With all the wisdom in the world put together, and how boastful they are when it comes to that. But they will never know God. They are blind. It's somewhat comical, isn't it? God himself is standing right in front of this Pharisee. And he just doesn't see it. He does not see him as who he is. The world is blind. Go to John chapter 9 with me. John chapter 9, verse 40. John chapter 9 is a story of Jesus healing a blind man who was born blind. And after Jesus healed this blind man, Pharisees, they were grumbling. Chapter 9 verse 40, Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, We are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. For since you say we see, your sin remains. Again, these blind people will never acknowledge that they are blind. No, it's actually contrary. They will say, we see. And they will say to us, Christians, you are the one who's blind. You Christians are blinded by this ridiculous, this concept of heaven and God. We are the ignorant ones, weak ones. How weak are we that we had to create in our mind this God so that we could depend on Him? We're so weak. But you and I, we admit, we were blind, but now we see. But these Pharisees, they say, were never blind. We are not blind too, are we? You say we see, then how come you do not see Jesus Christ as who he is? That would be our question to them. You say you see, but how come you don't see Jesus Christ as who he is? Thus, they are truly blind. But actually, in the world, these people will be treated as the ones who have the light. The world has its own light. And you know who they are. These people with great wisdom of this world. Or people who are so trained in science and philosophy. the lights of the world. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Don't be intimidated by these so-called lights of the world, how smart they are and how much they know. They don't know anything. They're blind because they do not see Christ. They're in the darkness. Oh yeah, they will boast about how much they know. And they boast about how brightly their light is shining. But understand, they're in the darkness. John chapter 12, verse 35b, he who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. They walk in the darkness. Isaiah 59, verse 10, we grope, these sinners grope along the wall like blind men. They grope like those who have no eyes. They stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, they are like dead men. That's how the Bible describes these lights of the world apart from Christ. They walk in the darkness. But brothers and sisters, let us remember that we were all like this once before. But the gospel that we're reading today, it tells us that the salvation of God has come upon us in the true light, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in Him, we have become the light of the world, to shine the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. You and I have been recreated. The new creation has begun in Jesus Christ. Do you remember the first creation? It begins as God says, into the darkness. As God says, into the darkness, let there be light. And that's how the first creation begins. The fallen world is the darkness. And into that darkness, our Lord Jesus Christ comes as the light. Just like, let there be light, Jesus comes as the light into this dark world. The new creation. But the world does not receive this light. John chapter 1 verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. World loves darkness. They love it. Chapter 3 of John, I read from verse 18 to you. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. these evil people and understand even this evil, I don't want you to understand that word in terms of the world. You know, most good people in the world are evil in the sight of God. So we're not just talking about evil people, you know, murderers or, you know. No. Well, the Bible says, even if you hate your brother in your heart, you are a murderer. But they don't think so, and they don't act like it. That actually brings much more anger from God. So these evil people, they don't want to come to light because then light will expose their evil. But you and I, we have already come to light and our sin has been exposed already. But our Lord Jesus Christ took all that sin and He died upon that cross, shedding His precious blood to cleanse all that sin. And He gave us His righteousness to wear. So for us now, we love to come out to the light. And whenever we do anything to glorify God, we want everybody to see that act, that works that we did. It's by the work of God. We want to show the whole world that that's how we're able to do what we are doing. We love to come to the light. We never leave the light. We are always in the light. But because our sins, God bore our sins and died for those sins. That is why. The light exposes the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, let us go there together. Ephesians chapter 5. I read from verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. I want you to understand that whether you are at your work or in your school or even in your family, you are the light. And as you walk around in that place, you expose the darkness. Just by how you live as a Christian, you live as Son of God, you expose the darkness. Do not participate. So when you are at school or wherever, somebody asks you to participate in sin and you say no. And by not participating, you expose their darkness. You are the light. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Brothers and sisters, what kind of salvation has come upon you and me? And through that salvation, we have become what kind of people? And now, what kind of life do we live in Jesus Christ? Christ has shown His light to us, and we shine that light in this dark world. That's what our life is all about. That is our life. We are the light of the world. And verse 14b through 15 says, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives the light to those who are in the house. To hide the lamp after lighting it is foolish. I mean, even you picture that. You have a candle and you light the candle, but now you cover that candle with a basket. Why would anybody do such a foolish thing? No one does it unless you are a fool. And that is our Lord's point. You and I are the light of the world, and we do not hide that reality. We must shine, because not to do so is to have a basket over you. Not to do so is foolishness. It is the same as the salt losing its saltiness. Not to shine this light that is in you already, it is to be just like the world. It is to participate in the darkness in the world. And this cannot be. May it never be. You and I cannot hide that we are the light of the world. Just cannot be. And verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds, good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, they may see your good works, it says. Good works. What are the good works? We need to understand this. Good works, what are they? In order for us to really understand this verse. These good works in our verse, are they the same good works that the world also speak of? Are they the same good works that the non-Christian can do also? Of course not. So don't even go that way. We're not talking about worldly moral, good moral behavior. That is not what we're talking about here. I want to show you something. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's talk about what is this good works. You know, worldly works, worldly good works. The purpose is to be noticed by men. Why do they do that? So that men can see and praise those people who are doing it. Go to chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. is to be noticed by men. Go to verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Go to verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearances so they will be noticed by men who they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Isn't it ironic? Because chapter 6, it talks about praying and fasting. I mean, obviously, don't you think that praying and fasting, this has to be good works that the Bible speaks of, right? Fasting and praying. But no. That's the good works of the world. Because they do that for their own glory. You know, I read biography of many Christians, you know, famous pastors. I don't anymore. I used to. And I wonder, with connection to this, I really wondered every time I read those books, all these great deeds they have done. You know, Bible says when you pray, make sure that nobody knows about it. You know, Bible says when you fast, make sure that nobody knows about it. But in this book, somebody knew how these people were praying so much and fasting so much. And I will always wonder, how come he let other people know about it? Do it without anybody knowing. Only God will know and he will bless you. I'm not impressed with those kind of biographies. Well, obviously, you're not going to write one for me, right? Please don't. Because it's not about us. It's not about how great we are. It's about Christ. Because in our verse, it says that by you doing these good works, people who see it, they're not going to notice you. They're going to notice God, and they will praise God. That's the point. So even, it takes some intelligence, you know, the Christian intelligence to figure out what these good works are. Even when you see somebody praying, it might not be these good works. But these works that truly brought out by the Holy Spirit who is working in us. And many times those kind of works, it's not so-called glorious by the measure of this world. But it will cause for people who sees that work to praise God. I'll give you one example. Go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. Now I know this is like really not popular these days, but this is what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, meaning that husband is not a believer, They may be one without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Now, today's standard, I think this kind of wife is dumb. I mean, just divorce the guy and just get out. You got life to live. Why waste time? Why obey this bum who doesn't even understand the gospel? But you obey. And people will laugh at you. See, this good deed that this wife is doing, world's not going to be impressed. But by that good works, this non-believing husband will praise God, meaning he will be saved. The true good works are for the glory of God. According to the context of our chapter, the good works that are spoken here are the Beatitudes that we have seen in verses through chapter 3 to 10. Being poor in spirit, mourning for our sins, being meek, hunger and thirsting after righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, being a peacemaker, being persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. Not what you might think, right? See, we want to, like, what? Being on the front page of newspaper, you did this great thing for so many people. And by that good works, people of the world will look at that and go, ooh, there's something different about Christian. And then they will praise you and praise. No, it's about being poor in spirit. Who acknowledges that? Mourning for our sins, being meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, being a peacemaker, being persecuted for the sake of the Christ. It is to witness Jesus Christ. That is exactly how Jesus lived, and that is who Jesus is. And the world will continue to hate this life. But when we live this life, the life of Christ, when we shine His light, those who are chosen but still in the darkness, He will see the light and come to the light and praise our Father. The world will never praise our Father. Don't misunderstand what the Bible is saying. If you live like Christ, the world will hate you. But the world right now includes chosen ones who are still in darkness, but they are chosen. And they will see the light, and they will come to the light, and they will praise our Father because of your good works. Don't ever read the Bible without really using what you already have learned, the truth that you already know. How can a non-Christian praise our Father? How? That is not what this verse is saying. But we don't know who is Christian or non-Christian. We don't know who is, I should say not Christian and non-Christian. I should say we don't know who is chosen or not. We do good works. And those chosen people, when time that God has set, will see it. And that the Holy Spirit will use it and bring him or her to the light. those people will praise God. Brothers and sisters, we have come out from the darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Colossians 1 chapter 1 verse 13, for He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8b, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The purpose of Jesus Christ in coming is expressed this way by Jesus in Acts chapter 26 verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That reality has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5 and 6, for we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as the bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God shines His light upon us. And that's how we came to light. Paul in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus, he meets the true light. Our Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected Lord, shines His light upon Paul, and from then on, He's the light of the world, just like His Lord. You are the light of the world. How did this reality come true? The darkness points to the judgment of God. Jesus entered the darkness for you, and He was treated as the Son of Darkness on the cross for you. When He was dying on the cross, Matthew 27 verse 5, now from the sixth hour darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour, and He remained in the darkness of the tomb for you. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. The Son of Heaven, the light of heaven has dawned, is arising, and it will never go down. And we have been resurrected with Him to the light, the life of light. And you and I, we do not belong to the darkness any longer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. We must shine the light, for we are the light of the world. But we are not confident of this. Well, I'm not. But today's message is not to give you burden. It's the gospel. How can we witness who we are in Jesus Christ? John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. We must follow after Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 verse 46, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. We must believe Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for us. He has made us the light of the world. And believe, brothers and sisters. Believe what God has done for you. Matthew chapter 25. It's about those 10 virgins, 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. And they were waiting for the husband, bridegroom, to come. And what happens? They have all that, they have lamps, right? And since I don't have time, you could read it later, Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. And only 5 virgins, they had oil so that they could light the lamp to receive the husband who is coming. And at the end of that parable, Jesus says, be on the alert. So how are we to live? We must live our lives focused on Jesus' return. Be on the alert. Focused on the reality of heaven. The foolish virgins did not have the oil. The oil points to the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit use in His work? God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. They are the same thing. The Word of God. You must study, you must read, you must memorize, you must hear, you must meditate upon. This is the oil. Well, this is what the oil, the Holy Spirit used so that you could always be on the alert. Don't ever lose your opportunities to learn the Word of God in our church. You lose too much. You know what happens if you miss one school day? You get so far behind. One SAT school, you miss one day. What happens? How about time to study the Bible? You miss one day, and what do you think is happening? Brothers and sisters, this is very serious. Unless you do not care how you are to live as a Christian, this is very serious. Don't be like these foolish virgins. At the end, they don't have the oil. Follow Jesus Christ. And use that by this word. Brothers and sisters, shine the light. Shine Jesus Christ through your lives and through the life of this church for the glory of God who is the true light. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made us the light of the world. That you have made us like you. Let us imitate you. Let us be like you. Let us shine your light in this dark world. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.